Advertising. Take the harp, go about the city, you forgotten harlot, play well, sing many songs, so that you may be remembered. Isaiah 23, verse 16. In our days, it is again a question as to what extent the church should be busy attracting the attention of people, either in a lawful or unlawful manner. For we are living in a time of advertising. In an often shameless manner, everyone today manages to attract attention. Advertising is systematically designed and methodically carried out. Even stamps are abused for this purpose. And the back page of a daily newspaper is an ongoing insult to the reader, or otherwise, an honest admission of the scurry, the superficiality of our daily activities. All the great lines, the great and sometimes even colored lines and characters, the blatant illustrations, which decorate or defile the advertisements, whichever way you look at things, show clearly the great effort one uses to draw attention. The editorials, the most important part of the magazines and papers, are placed before you in regular size fonts, but the advertisements are large and blatant. They appear in large letters and cause the printer to double the exclamation marks in his letterbox. And if you look at a large city by night, you see all the electrical advertising. Who cares, people say. It is the spirit of the times. Why should a church not make wise use of it? Why not mention a church service on the stamp? Why not expose the church more to the outside by attracting attention? America has already gone ahead of us, and the stories you hear from there are astounding. Why not let the Netherlands follow that example? That is the sound one hears in order to get the church out of its hiding place, with the trumpet in hand. For this question, which cannot be answered with a few words, the words of Isaiah for Tyre are not without meaning. In chapter 23, the prophet speaks about Phoenicia and announces the judgment for it. Especially Tyre, that great city, got its share. Tyre had a lot of things that were very attractive. It had aqueducts and a flourishing purple industry. It had libraries and a science of the occult. It was itself a miracle of architecture and a model of military forces. And as long as Tyre was great and positively involved in the advancement of Asian culture, it went its way. It marketed its products and claimed that everything was fine. No recommendation was needed for the real thing. But, said Isaiah, the time of devastation is coming soon. Tyre will be desolated and forsaken, a forgotten city. Yet its status as widow will not last forever. At one time it will be considered again. Actually, it will itself take care of that. For that city will assume for itself the role of a harlot, who would go onto the street with a lyre to tempt her lovers by voice, song, and music, to attract their attention to herself. That deed was an expression of extreme desperation, even though it looked very carefree and lively. For he who has a quiet confidence and is assured by himself to be faithful in constructive love will need no song and music to attract attention. For he would have that attention simply by the constructive work that he is busy with. But this forgotten harlot, when she was by herself, clenched her fist in despair, because of the lack of attention she received. She despaired about the lack of strength in her own personality, and over against the young bride, who does not even ask if her person would attract attention, but who nevertheless gets it, stands the forgotten harlot, who always deliberately and artificially tries to gain attention, who, when that doesn't work so easily, paints her eyes, which have just wept about that lost glory, and forces herself to sing a tempting song in the voice which has just scolded the world and herself. Thus the Church of Christ should see, behind the gaiety of this advertising, the desperation, and be warned. For when real love is not noticed, it will not prostitute itself to be noticed and enjoyed. And if it is true that the church is losing her influence on society, which in itself is not true at all, she should still be on guard for the singing of Tyre's harlotry. For what the church has to offer, without price and without money, is not her own beauty and love, but that of her King and Lord. The servant should stand on guard how he will announce his master. The life of the church is indeed marked in some regions by the desperation of the forgotten harlot. The strength for her own life of love has sometimes been lacking for quite a while already. Often the judgment of being forgotten is then also a visitation of God about the emptiness and barrenness of quiet years. And then the church gets into a dangerous position again to advertise her own cause, forgetting that her only weapon is the claim of God's sovereignty. Be silent before him, all the earth. A church which rents a little space on an advertising board on which everyone advertises has violated her message before she began to speak. She has laid the sovereign gospel of God beside the merchandise of the world, the merchandise of which the value still has to appear. She has sanctioned the distrust in her own words. We do not say these things to draw the attention away from the other side, which undoubtedly also applies to this question. The church should attract attention in an appropriate manner. But when all is well, that will come by itself. When she understands her time and prophecies for that time, she will indeed be such a great irritation that she will appear before the eyes of the world. But let the quietude of the bride be her decoration, who is beautiful in the behavior of her internal life. Let her honor be the authority of a prophet. Isaiah described him who would not cry out and would not let his voice be heard on the street. Christ did not advertise himself. Be aware, he admonished, that you tell nobody. Yet in his high priestly prayer, he asked for such a world-convincing power for his disciples and such an innovative functioning in society that the world would acknowledge that the Father had sent the Son into the world. And thus the church will have enough work to do that will attract attention, if she but does her duty and prophesies. The people indeed saw it. Jesus taught as one having authority, as one who was competent, and not as the scribes and Pharisees. The latter had broadcasted their competence and proved their doctrines by more than 1,000 arguments. Jesus looked the people straight into the eyes and prophesied more than he disputed, and the people understood. Over against the advertising of Rome, often also a failed expression of pessimism, and over against the attempt of many others, sometimes with the aim to oppose the former, to detract from the advertising of Rome's corner on the bulletin board, true faith should place that power and that faith in the expanding strength of God's work on earth, by which space is made for the words, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones should rise up to speak. For revelation is the great riddle, but also the great evidence. It has the proof in itself. But all the Tyre's songs of harlotry show to God and the people that Tyre itself no longer believes the beauty of its own life, which wants to press itself onto others. When it says, buy the truth and do not sell it, a universal evaluation is expressed. But when it also says that I myself am bought by Christ's blood and that the 144,000 triumphant ones of God have been bought from the earth, I will leave the great line of progress of God's kingdom up to him, although I do my duty when I want to follow him. And when I read further that whatever I still bought was bought without price and without money, I will forever understand that whatever reached me outside the market of the world should also not be marketed as a commodity of that world market. Whatever God speaks is from above.